Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Mountaintop experiences, experiences in the valley. It changes our life. We see God providentially working. If our faith and our obedience depends on how I feel, what I think is right, what seems to be good to me, we always end up in a place where God would not have us to be. So it's here's the fact, here's the word of God, here's the faith that follows, and obedience triggers that faith, and suddenly feelings follow in every single life.
The truth is, God is currently working out His plan for you specifically. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins a message called Mountain of Exception and teaches that God is at work in your life to fulfill His plans without violating your free will. So stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to put a special resource in your hands to help you make God's Word part of your daily routine this year. The one-year chronological Bible is designed to help you read through the entire Bible in less than 15 minutes a day. We'll send you the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for your help reaching more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. Now you can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Mountain of Exception, Part 1.
Basic principle we need to have established over and over again. And that's the providence of God. God is running this universe. He always has, He always will. And He does it somehow without violating man's gifted by God to be a free moral agent and also His divine purpose. God's purpose, man's freedom, they never get confused because in the process, the Lord is working together His plan, His will, His providential design for every life and for this world. Everybody's ever lived, everybody's living today. God, in His own way, is providentially working through those lives. We see this. That's one reason we have the Bible. God lets us see in His special people, the Jews, whom He called out from the rest of the world, how God is working in the lives of all of these individuals and all of these situations through thousands of years. And so we read the Bible and we see how God is working there, that God is working in our lives. Some little something happens here. It's determinative of the rest of your life. Here's something casual happens over here. Man, I didn't take any importance of it, but how big it became in the direction of a life. Changing moment, mountaintop experiences, experiences in the valley. It changes our life. We see God providentially working. Now, let me just give you just a little zip through some things in the Bible to see that happening in odd ways, strange, mysterious ways. Two men are talking in a prison. Their conversation leads to Joseph becoming governor of Egypt. a prison conversation. Now, who would have planned that? We move on and we see that the daughter of Pharaoh is taking a bath in the Nile River. No big deal. That's where she bathed. And here comes a throwaway Jewish child down in a little ark and floats down. And suddenly she adopts little baby Jewish Moses, and God prepares him to be his leader to take his people out of slavery into freedom. My goodness, just a woman bathing in a river, encountering a baby who was a throwaway. How strange is that? A father wanting to provide food for his sons who were battling, and they were in a standoff battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. And so this father takes his underage son, who was too young for the draft to be fighting, takes this little freckle-faced shepherd boy and says, take this food, your brothers. They're hungry. They're fighting the battle for the Lord. And there little David takes that food to his older brothers, and zip, it ends up in David facing Goliath. Who would have thought? And here's a beautiful little Jewish girl who's taken into the harem of a powerful Persian king, and she is used in just that moment in history for such a time as that to save the lives of thousands of people in her race, in her religion, in her family. Who would have thought that? And here in our scripture, we have a country boy named Saul, whom his father Cush sent him out to find some donkeys that had wandered away months before so they could use the donkeys in the harvesting of the crops. And now this awkward, bucolic country boy from the smallest tribe and the most insignificant family, he encounters Samuel, God's prophet, and zip, this awkward country boy named Saul becomes the first king of Israel. Boy, you look at all these strands of history and life and put them all together, and you say, my goodness, how in the world does this work? It is, listen, the providence of God operating always. That's what we need to see in your life and my life, and we see it in biblical principles over and over again. And so we see now Israel has a king, and the people wanted it, and Samuel wasn't clear, and finally God gave permission and told him how to find this king, and it was a strange, you say, it was a chance meeting that Samuel, you know, ran into Saul and prepared him through discipleship to be the king. Oh, no, there are no accidents. I despise people who say, well, I was just lucky. I want to take them and say, awake, awake, my son, my daughter. There's no such thing as luck. There's something as chance, but not luck. All of life, big things, little things, monumental things, unsuspecting things, it's all according to the providence of Almighty God, and you see it magnificently in the life of Saul. We started off with, here's a fact. We respond to a fact with faith, and following the fact and faith comes feeling, remember? And as long as we have our faith and we're obedient to the truth, to the facts, the feelings will follow. If our faith and our obedience depends on how I feel, what I think is right, what seems to be good to me, we always end up in a place where God would not have us to be. So it's, here's the fact, here's the word of God, here's the faith that follows, and obedience triggers that faith. And suddenly feelings follow in every single life. Mission trip in Africa, visiting with a missionary and his family on the edge of the jungle. They're sitting there on the porch talking toward the end of the day. The sun is going down, beautiful scenery. And a young boy is playing there in the yard on the edge of the jungle. And suddenly the missionary father stands up and says, "Philip, fall on your belly." And he did. "Crawl to me as rapidly as you can." And he did. "Now stand up and run to me." And he ran to the boy. And everybody looked around and said, "What's going on?" You see, the father saw in the tree there was a boa constrictor who was hanging over that boy. And if he hadn't obeyed immediately and followed his father's command, if he'd been like some of our children, "Well, why, Daddy? You know, what should I do?" But he obeyed. And look, what happened to him? This is the point, the principle here. And this is where we're going to see that Saul and ultimately King Saul got into tremendous trouble. King Saul, by the way, Saul had it all. If you want to look for the characteristics of leader, said, "I want to find somebody who is a real leader who could be king, prime minister, president, dictator, whatever you want to call them." Man, Saul had it all. Look at the beginning in chapter 9 of 1 Samuel. "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish." This is Saul's father. Look at verse 2. Kish had a son whose name was Saul, a choice and handsome man, and there was not a more handsome person, listen, than he among all the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up, he was taller than any of the people." Man, he was tall, dark, handsome. Man, what a specimen. Physically strong. You can read all the preamble here of Saul. You see, he was intelligent. He was hardworking, respectful of his father. He was a man that you wanted to be with. He was just handsome beyond belief. Charisma flowed from him. He had all the natural gifts of intelligence, of ability, of appearance, of strength. I mean, what more are you going to find humanly or naturally? He was greatly gifted. And then on top of this, as Samuel discipled him, this is through many verses in the Bible, Samuel discipled him. Saul was not a religious man. You say, how do you know that? Because when he met Samuel, he didn't know who Samuel was. That's like living in America 10 years ago and you meet Billy Graham. Well, who are you? You know, he'd just spoken to more people in the flesh than anybody's ever lived, but who are you? See, he wasn't religiously oriented because Samuel was God's prophet, God's leader for the children of Israel at this time. And when Saul met him, he didn't know him. But Samuel built into Saul, and the Bible tells us Saul was given a new heart. And then Saul was given a whole new personality. And then they call Saul one of the prophets. In other words, he became God-fearing. He became spiritual. And all of his friends said, my, what has happened to Saul? Man, he's now God-fearing. How did this take place? He was just one of us. And now look at all the stuff that Saul had in his life. All the natural ability to be a leader, all the supernatural ability to be a leader. Saul had everything you'd look for in someone who would be king. Everything. And we know what a terrible situation we find Israel at this time. And it all began with the last verse in the book of Judges. Important verse. They'd had all these vicious, mean, would-be dictatorial leaders running Israel until finally they were in such a terrible situation that all the judges had died and they had failed ingloriously through all the years. And the last verse in the book of Judges in the Bible says it clearly. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Feelings. Everybody did what's right in what You think, I think. Everybody did what's right in their own eyes because there was no king in the land. If there's no king in your life, if there's no king in my life, we just do what's right according to our feelings, what's right in your eyes, what's right in our eyes, and the result, ladies and gentlemen, always is disaster. But Saul had it all. And Saul had a sense of call. You can read there about a part of his ordination exercise, and it's for many chapters. Chapter 10 of 1 Samuel. Then Samuel took the flask of oil and poured it on his head, kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance?" And it says, verse 9, God changed his heart, changed his life. He had it all. He had all the natural, all the supernatural. Now he had a sense of the call of God that he would be king. And interesting, in all this, he kept his humility in the beginning. He really did. They brought all the people together for his coronation. They couldn't find Saul. You know where he was? Hiding in the baggage, the Bible. He was so embarrassed. He was overwhelmed with it all. He had humility. He was a forgiving person because there was a little crowd there who didn't want him to be king. And there's always opposition. By the way, if you're doing something for the Lord and there's not opposition, you're probably not doing something for the Lord. Just a side note. And so there was a little group there that opposed him, and normally a king would come and kill all of them. But Saul said, "No, it's all right. I forgive them. They'll fit in. They'll see what God is doing," and they did. So he was humble. He was forgiving. He was gracious. He was brilliant. He was talented. He was handsome. He was strong. He had naturals. Saul had it all, and he had God's call on his life. I mean, what more could this close the chapter? I mean, we got it. But I want you to see the fall of King Saul. The bigger they are, the higher, the more, the longer is the fall, is it not? And we see that beginning tragically here in his life. And by the way, we fall gradually. We don't say when you become a thief, you don't start off by robbing the bank. Have you noticed that? You sort of build up. You cheat a little more in school, and you take things when nobody finds out, and you just sort of move up through the ranks. Until the mafia, you become a made person. And that's how it works in every single life, in every area of sin and rebellion against being a man or a woman who's obedient to the Lord. Every time, it's gradual. We see this with Saul. We see it in chapter number 13. And the situation is this. The Philistines are attacking God's people. Now Saul, by the way, another example of humility. After he was ordained as king, he went back in the field and worked as a farmer, as he always did. Isn't that something? I mean, what a guy. What a leader. And now the Philistines are attacking. So Samuel says, "Saul, you get the army together and you gather him up. We're going to throw out the Philistines, and you wait 7 days. And Samuel says, "I will come and offer a burnt offering. We will have a worship ceremony, and then we'll go fight the Philistines." And look what happened here. Verse 9, chapter 13, 1 Samuel. So Saul said, "Bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering. And as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to greet him and to meet him. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" Now remember, he was to wait 7 days. Samuel would lead in the worship. But Saul said, "I can't wait." And this is his excuse that he gives. He said, "I saw the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash." Now look what happened. Clear word of God, instruction to Saul. And Saul says, "I can't wait." And he was impatient, and he took the situation in his own hands. Because he blamed it on the people, he blamed it on the situation, and he said, "You know, I'm an exception. You have to make an exception with me. I wasn't completely obedient, but exception, I'm making an exception." Isn't that what we do so many times? Well, God, I make an exception because I was in church last Sunday. I mean, I teach. I'm a good person. I've got all these responsibilities. I'm tired. And so make an exception with me. Saul said he was exceptional. This passage says, though, how the mighty have fallen. Exceptionalism. First step in his fall. Look at the second step in his fall, and I'll walk you through it quickly. I wish I could read all the scripture. It's a powerful thing for us. Chapter 15, it says, Saul is sent out now on another assignment. He is to take army and wipe out all the Amalekites. Samuel said, you're to kill every man, every woman, every child. You're to kill all their animals, sheep, goat, oxen. You wipe out everything about the Amalekites. You say, well, my goodness. You know who the Amalekites were? Read your Bible. They were ISIS of that day. The Amalekites were terrorists, even going back when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They wouldn't fight people up front. They infiltrated from the back. And they were killing and destroying, and they were demonic people. What do you do with a mad dog? Make a pet out of it, have a conference with it, get counseling for the dog. You kill the dog. And these were animals. They were demonic. And God said, take everything out with them. And look what happened. Once again, there's a clear call for obedience. Look at what Saul did in this particular situation. It is devastating. He killed all the animals except the healthy animals. And he killed all the Amalekites, these demonic people, except their king, Agag. And then you read when Samuel is coming, Saul says, blessed are you, I have carried out the command of the Lord.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Anger is an emotional response that can be positive, but the wrong kind of anger can be debilitating. There are two safeguards Paul gives us in Ephesians 4 to keep us from the wrong kind of anger. First, he tells us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. In other words, deal with problems and tensions as soon as possible. Don't let them linger or they will fester until they explode inappropriately. And the second safeguard is this. Don't give the devil a foothold in our life. If our anger is vicious or vindictive, the devil will use that to destroy our lives and drag us down. The right kind of anger, righteous anger, is a gift God gives us to use as we speak up and speak out to make a difference for Him. Ask Him to help you to be angry at the right things and in the right way, and to employ these two safeguards to avoid anger that is selfish or harmful to yourself and, of course, to others.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you stay grounded in that truth all year long with the one-year chronological Bible. There's no better way to prepare for what God wants to do in and through you this year than to spend time each day in His Word. The one-year chronological Bible will help you do just that as you grow deeper in your understanding of God's Word through 365 daily Bible readings that guide you through Scripture in chronological order. So call now to request the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message with encouragement for you to stay out of the darkness of sin and in the joy of a winning walk with Jesus Christ.
As you open my eyes.